Online Podcast 228. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to online. Ouch! I just hit my knee. Welcome to online podcast, and I am as good as Secret Simon, as paint as I go. I just make stuff up as I go, and yeah, and I don't know how to use my brushes. Welcome, all of you, and of course, now you all know why I'm so captivated by the visual, the look of it, and the whole concept, and Alden himself. I think you sort of brought the paintings. Sometimes we look at paintings, and it's kind of fortunate that sometimes you get to look at a painting and you get actually also and then speak Chinese in Hong Kong, and also get to know the person, because it really gives you a different depth. Like, as if you're listening to a song and you met the composer who talk about the song, or met the director of, or a writer or something. So, welcome back, Alden, Secret Simon.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. And okay, so we'll dive straight into painting. So
dive straight into the art.
Yes, okay. We'll dive straight into it. And there'll be a big splash from me.
So, you.
My fat joke. Okay, so let's get into it right now. So if you're listening to this for the first time, for whatever reason, welcome. But go back to last week's show, or last few weeks, or whenever that last episode was that I posted. Listen to that one first, because we talk a lot more about his background, Secret Simon's, Alden's background, before we come into talking about each of the paintings. Also, just a reminder that this is an enhanced podcast, and therefore you'll be seeing images on your iPod or on iTunes. If there are links involved, you on your computer, on your iTunes, you can also click on the link and visit the sites. Now, if you do not have, if you're not using iTunes, or if you're not using the iTunes to download the show, then you want to download the MP3 file, which I will also provide on my website. Just go to onlinepodcast.com. Of course, if you're hearing this, you're already there. Silly me. And but there'll be an MP3 file version also. So if you're here, welcome. You were wondering why it won't play. That's because it was an enhanced podcast and you have a sucky player. And never mind. So let's move on. Let's move into the painting after a whole bunch of creative, stupid, crazy talk that I have.
Okay. Stupid, crazy talk. Okay. All right. Well, last time we were looking at, I was saying that I sort of took a survey amongst, you know, friends and.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you do that a long time ago, or did you do that for the show?
I did that for the show. I did that like yesterday.
Oh, cool! Yay!
And some people are like, "Oh, you're getting interviewed?" And I'm like, "Well, yeah, okay."
Last week, not yesterday.
Yes. Right, my whole sense of time. I'm time traveling now, and
We don't even know whether it's last week. I probably use this when I, you know, I'm maybe while I'm traveling home to Malaysia. So maybe right now I'm in the plane. So okay, let's go on. Yeah, so you were asking
around.
Speaking
of flying,
yes. What?
Well, the one that they should be looking at now.
Oh.
Is called As the Crow Flies.
Ooh, see how smart I am? Actually, that was completely unintentional. But I'm going to pretend like I did that so that you can go into your segment.
And
gracefully.
The caption I came up for this one was, Taco-san realized only too late that he shouldn't have taken flight instruction at a discount store run by shady elephants. Oh. So this one, you know, it sort of ended up being sort of humorous. At least I hope it was humorous.
Let's laugh. Sorry, I'm being bitchy.
For the astute person, this is sort of one of those where the caption sort of adds a little bit more to it. But this has, you know, this has a crow, and there's talk of elephants in here. and flying, you know, flying things. And if you see the octopus is holding a crow feather, a la a magic feather, a la Dumbo, so, you know, the the octopus is trying to fly in stormy weather.
Very cool.
And
see,
actually,
I told you he's smart too.
I was talking to this boy Elroy, to Adam, and he picked up on that.
Hang on, oh, he came in with that.
And he did pick up on that when I talked to him once before, and I was like, oh, good, I'm glad somebody did. Because you know, sometimes I'm just not sure.
Sometimes it doesn't happen.
I'm a little bit vague with things. You know, I try not to. I try to make it so that you have to maybe sort of think about it a little bit.
Now, most of your arts to me are visuals, and I'm a very visual person. And a lot of the culture stuff I don't have because you know I didn't grow up here. So a lot of culture references, Dumbo I know, but I remember I cried so badly when I went and saw Dumbo. But anyway, it's more visual for me. But of course,
Dumbo is one of my favorite movies, I would have to say.
Oh.
And, you know, it harkens back to a time, just even in talking about the animation industry, when it was, I think that was a wartime movie. That was just a sweet little movie that just came out, you know, during a time when people wanted something to focus on, I think.
Mm-hmm.
That was, you know, a little bit triumphant or, but this, so... The way that whole story is, it's not pretentious at all, at least to me. It's one of my favorites. And it's very simple. I mean, the animation is very simple in it, and the story is simple, and I have this, you know, a lot of people say that they can sense in me that I have a very childlike or I'm in connection with childlike mentality type of things. I don't know if that comes from just having kids, but I think that I think that I always have. I think that people have always said that I would be good to illustrate children's books and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, this one is definitely one of the more illustrative. And I think this one's actually one of the more bizarre ones, just because of this, you know, flying octopus. And
yeah, but I see. I'm looking at it visually, not like trying to analyze it too deep or anything. It has so much depth, and it's very good. It has so much depth and this motion.
sort of. Yeah,
you can
all the
feel
tentacles
the texture.
Of the octopus and
you can see the texture,
tentacles
but can I ask,
of the lightning.
Yeah, you can see the texture. I just like, okay, another thing I think that on the digital medium sometimes, all the digital media actually, creating light is like my fascination. When I do motion animation, I like to create light to mimic real life, and that light, I think, I don't know whether it's easier. It's just that because it's easier to paint bright, to paint white than it is in...
It is in digital.
Yeah, digital.
It's, and that may be the reason why I latched onto it so well is it was always frustrating for me to... I always kept wanting to make things brighter and make them more vivid and more... You know, with like colored pencils and with paint and things.
It can't go too vibrant from that. Whatever
and,
the thing.
And so with this, you're dealing with pure light, and so I feel like I'm drawing with light, and that's a really cool idea.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And the it's just you know the lightning and everything. It just has that glow, and because of the lightness and the darker area, it creates a lot of depth. I can feel the texture of the octopus. Now, can I ask you about the bandana thing or the whatever the thing that...
Well, I called him Taco-san, which is... Taco is Japanese for octopus.
Mm-hmm.
And So it's sort of supposed to be like, you know, I could have put a red dot in the middle of it.
Not Mexican taco.
Like one of those sushi makers, you know.
Sushi chef.
No, no, not a Mexican taco.
Not Mexican taco, Japanese taco.
Like takoyaki, like taco balls.
I'm hungry now. Shut up.
I took Japanese for a few years.
Oh, so.
And, I don't even ask me, though, because I just don't.
I don't speak, sorry.
I can read it. I mean, I'm pretty good at reading it.
Oh,
but
wow.
It's one of those things, if you don't use it, you lose it. Mm. And
but you can still read it, right?
Not fluent. Yeah, I can barely speak it. But I think, you know, if I ever went over there, that I could get by.
You would be very popular in Japan.
Well, some people, I've gotten it that some people thought I was Asian.
Yeah, from your art, maybe?
Sometimes, yeah. You know, I think that people seem to think that I have some kind of Japanese or Asian sensibility about it, which is fine.
Which is why I like you.
That a compliment, I do. Because I really like the Asian sensibilities in art.
Yeah, me too. But that's kind of disqualifying me because I'm Asian.
I do have to take to task, though, people that say they draw in a manga style or in an anime style, though, or things like that, because that's just very... That's a whole other discussion, but people tell me that, and I'm like, no, you know, I'm not Japanese, so I couldn't if I wanted to.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think you'll be very.
I don't really like to latch onto those types of terms in reference to, you know. I think this is definitely something. I would definitely say this is something American or a synthesis of.
Yeah.
Of, you know, Western and Eastern culture.
It's yours. It's you.
Well, yeah.
as on the show, we always like to stress on yourself, being yourself.
So those were really the top four, the ones we just went through. The next one, I call Zephyr's Eve. Zephyr being, of course, a gentle breeze, and this one just I don't think that I spent a lot of time on this one, and yet I think this one is probably my favorite actually.
This is that's I think why this I'm is putting one of the now. Ones what that I
this is
that I saw.
Some people don't like this one, and I'm always curious. You know, when I was getting sort of responses as to why, some people just said, you know, it just didn't connect. And this is the one that I think represents me as a personality the most. Mm. It's whimsical, it's airy, it has, but it's still vibrant. And someone said to me that it's even though it's got all that motion in it, it's still peaceful.
Yeah,
it's
calm. Yes.
Because and I've heard people say that they sort of think of me like that, you know, like I'm not too over the top.
You aren't, girl.
I try not to be, you know. it's not really my thing, you know. But I think
what about
this
me?
One,
you should do a painting of me one of these days. You know, that you can incorporate some Asian-ness in it. And do a painting when you have time. Do a sketch of me, and I can use it for my podcast or whatever. Oh my gosh, it would be an honor. But you know, I won't force you. But you know, when you feel like it, when you're inspired to do some Asian-ness, do me.
Okay.
Whoops, that came out kind of wrong. Whoops. Boyfriend.
I'll just read the caption for this one. It says, use caution when lifting the scarecrow's hat. You never know what he's dreaming about.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And I think that sometimes with my captions, I feel like I get a little bit saccharine. Like, that one could go into the realm of,
No,
but,
it's sweet,
you know,
sometimes.
I think it's a balance. When I'm trying to write the captions for these, it's like, I'm trying not to be, I'm not trying to use words that I don't know what they mean, and I'm trying not to, you know, I'm trying to be honest without being, obtrusive.
Pretentious.
You know, something pretentious.
Being honest, yeah.
Yeah. I think there's a, that's really kind of hard for me.
There are many times, I think most artists struggle with that too, is that, it's a fine line between, you know, pretentious and artistic can just be defined sometimes. It's like, oh, he's so pretentious.
Some people don't care at all. I mean, they'll be as, yeah, you can call me pretentious. I don't, you know, I don't give a flip, whatever. Yeah. It's, because that's what I do. But, you know, I really don't see the value in that.
Mm-hmm.
So, at least for me, that's not a goal that I try to achieve. So this one, you know, I think this one encapsulates my, I hesitate to use the word spirit, but.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
I guess it encapsulates.
Your core.
If people, you know, would think of me, I would hope they would think of this picture. You know, it's like I was listening to Regan Fox the other day, and he was talking about his poems.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about how when he was doing slam poetry, that he would do a, or that poets have like a signature poem that, you know, when you go and you perform, that's, or, you know, even musicians, when you go and you sing, you have a song usually.
A signature.
It's your signature, right. This one I would consider a visual signature of me.
Yeah, that's good. It's like, yeah, you know, give me a sentence in essence of, you know, give me a sentence
right.
of who you are. This is like, give me right. a picture of who you are, and that's you. And I really like it. Give my 2 cents, Malaysian ringgit sen. It's like you said, you know, I'm very captivated by the motion, like I always do in all your paintings. It's
mm-hmm.
it's very calm and feel like a breeze, you know, even though there's a lot of movement, but those, I think maybe it's from the facial expression that it's very, very
right.
zen in the wind.
Yes.
I like
I would agree.
I like it. And I'm like checking out your pen strokes and your brushes. Now, I do also.
And like I said, that one really came out just really easily. I didn't have to think about that one at all. It was just like, there
That's
it
amazing.
Is.
Now, did you come into that sketch with the scarecrow in mind? Or
no.
Okay. But it pretty much evolved almost at the very the
at
first
the very
doodling.
Beginning. It
yeah.
kind of looked like
maybe
that,
that's
though.
Why that made it easy. It's
sometimes
maybe,
the very even the very initial marks. Well, yeah, will spark some kind of thought.
Yeah.
So the next set, I just wanted to kind of talk about my sketches as a journaling tool.
Okay. Well, before we get into that, I like how. Some of your characters are kind of puffy, like me.
Lovable, you mean?
Yes, voluptuous. Deliciously plump. Anyway, you better be careful when you sketch me.
Okay.
No. That would be a bad thing to do to an artist, is to say, I'll give you this cage. Only.
I'll give you this. But, you know, don't make me look fat.
Yes. No. You can make me.
I tell the truth, darling. That's what I do.
Oh, whore. Okay. Let's move on to the next one. Fat.
All right. I grouped the next three together. When I very first started putting sketches on the Secret Simon blog, I was doing a series that I called them Lost Boys. And I don't think for any specific reason other than I was probably having, you know, I was probably dealing with a lot of issues in my head about gender and sexuality and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wanted to do sort of a series that was a little bit maybe specific to that, but not so much. And so I think these ended up being all of these first ones don't have those captions that the later ones do,
mm-hmm.
that are sort of storytelling elements, you know, that sort of bring an extra something to it. When I did all these, they were just kind of like, it was kind of, I still was talking about things that were like going on emotionally,
mm-hmm.
but the pictures don't necessarily, reflect that subject matter. They may reflect colors and things like that in it. But the three that people seemed like most, so I'm going to just group all three of these together,
mm-hmm.
Are Lost Boy number 3, number 7, and number 9. So if you go through those, number 3 is very, very, very contemplative.
These three are the ones that I think that captured me into it. Because that was probably about the time that I discovered.
Probably.
I vividly remember number 9 especially.
Number 9, that was actually a day that the kids were sick. And, you know, that's very much just what was going on.
Let's recap for people. Uh-huh. Oh, they were not here. Okay, let's talk about that. You have two monkeys.
I have two kids and I call them monkeys, yes. Mm-hmm.
Why not? You have two monkeys.
They are.
And very cute.
I don't call them monsters. I call them monkeys.
Monkeys.
There's a difference. Cute.
And, but so, okay, just to let people know that you're two kids. And so, okay, so mm-hmm. your two boys, monkeys,
yeah.
were sick that day, but they were not with you?
Yeah, they were, you know, I would... During the beginning of my separation,
mm-hmm.
and just we were figuring out the schedule.
Again, you were married, and
I was
so
married.
You had two kids. Just so people know.
No, no problem.
Never assume.
Yeah, I don't hide any of that. So mm-hmm. you know,
good.
I'm very connected to my kids, and I very much work with my now ex-wife and her family, and everyone has been extremely, you know, I would like to say that I'm a good example of the way that things could be, not of the situation that occurred,
mm-hmm.
because that's just not, I don't think really that's ever acceptable to go into something like that purposefully. You know, I'm sure there are people out there that get married, you know, because they want kids, and then, you know, but, oh, hey, honey, I'm gay, you know,
mm-hmm.
See ya. That's just awful.
Mm-hmm.
But I do believe that there are people out there that don't know what the heck they're doing.
Yeah.
That was me in a nutshell. I never thought about
people.
Those kinds of things. I had very strong religious ties. You know, mm-hmm. It seems like that's the excuse that everyone gives, but I don't think that's it's not an excuse. It's something that happens.
Yeah, it's part of your growing up.
It's part of your growing up and part of your social. Yes, exactly. And so everything that I was taught was, you know, you're supposed to go get married, and you know, this is
exactly.
the way that things are.
And I'm gonna hang you on, pause you for a while there. And,
sure.
And which is why through your sharing, a lot of people and I still even until today, I receive email from through my two shows. I have my Binai Hokkien is kind of crazy, but sometimes mm-hmm. I have people knowing, and I'm openly gay there, and so I have people who emailed me just to talk to me because they have no other people to talk to, and they thought, oh my gosh, I thought I was the only one. This is 2007 already. There are still people who are struggling with that, and so we never take, you know. Things like, oh, it's a given. No. Like, at the time where people, sometimes when you're here in America and you see so much progress, even though we're not progressing a whole lot, but when we see a lot of progress here in the United States, and when you look back in Malaysia, the movie, what is it? the Brokeback Mountain movie.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, bleh, you know, another gay movie. But it meant to a lot of people, it's like a life-changing thing. And it's good that you're telling the story so that other people can...
I keep it up there. Yeah, I contemplated for a long time just shutting down Secret Simon altogether and just starting something completely new.
It was quiet there for a while, yeah.
It was very quiet because I was like, is this something that I even want to keep around anymore? You know, I'm past all that. But then I keep... Even to this day, mm-hmm. I still get emails from people who discover it. They sit down, they look through the entire thing, and they're like, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very
I'm not alone.
It's very
so,
powerful.
So, you know, I keep it up, you know, just as long as... I like to be able to help in that way, if I can.
Yeah, if you've gone through it, and if you can share it, if you've already lived through it, mm-hmm. why not share it for other people to maybe to get inspired or just sometimes just knowing that somebody is out there itself is good.
Yeah. Some of these sketches then that I do are an extension of that. They are personal. They're what's going on.
You have to find a publisher. Oh my gosh. I just so see a book coming.
Oh,
and you'll be so rich.
Well, let's not talk about that.
Oh, okay, never mind.
Right now.
I'll think about that. You don't. You just keep sketching.
So these three were the ones that people latched onto the most from those that I called Lost Boys.
Okay, you were talking about sick kids.
Number nine was one that the kids were over at, you know, at their house, mm-hmm. and I was not. I was at my house, mm-hmm. and, you know, but they were sick, and I had to go. I still, even to this, it's hard to go. I go put them to bed some nights at their house, mm-hmm. and then I come back here, mm-hmm. you know, because that's the way it is. So, you know, something like that, it really is quite simple. The other thing I wanted to point out about these Lost Boy ones, even though I was sort of dealing with a specific gender, I get a lot sometimes that the people I draw look androgynous.
Mm-hmm.
That you can't really tell. Like with that one right there, number nine, some people think that's a father, some people think that's a mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even think about that until people started pointing it out. And, you know, I think I do that subconsciously.
You know, yeah, and
it's apparent. It's
yes.
But even in other drawings I've done, sometimes it's a little hard to tell. But they don't look effeminate or butch. You know, mm-hmm. they just look like a person.
Plus, I think the beauty of an of art is that you put some of your own interpretation and feelings into the picture that you see.
Right.
And when I think of that position, my upbringing and everything, I think of mom when I see that kind of holding. Because, you know, that's part of my growing up. And of course, mm-hmm. if it happens to other people, and other people would have a different interpretation. Because that's a very Mary and child position.
Right.
If you want to speak religious.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to go to the next one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that piece too. It's very
short
emotional.
Circuit.
Yeah, short second, okay.
I did this on my younger monkey's birthday because this is him.
Oh.
It very much is what he acts like, what I picture is going on in his brain. I'm not sure how long ago, but he was, well, it was right before he started going to preschool because we were trying to figure out what was going on. Something wasn't right upstairs.
Oh.
He was a little bit, he was a little bit, well, I don't want to say special. He was a little bit short but special.
Different.
I don't know. You know, we were trying to figure out. He just wasn't progressing the way that.
This is the younger?
No, he wasn't progressing, the younger one, right. Mm. And so we went through a whole time where we had him tested and they thought he was maybe emotionally handicapped. They put him in an emotionally handicapped class, which was the exact opposite, actually, that he turned out to be. He was autistic. He's not emotionally handicapped. Which is something different.
Yeah.
And I wish that I knew more and could explain it more, but the fact is that it's something that's still being researched and not a lot of people know a lot about it. There are people who are very famous who were autistic and who mm-hmm. are brilliant and who are geniuses. If you go to, I'm going to have to ask Adam who this person was again. This boy Elroy, there's a scientist that, dang it. He wrote about her. But you know, there's scientists and musicians and artists and they function just well in society, you know.
Maybe
they
different.
They probably have their difficulties. They have their struggles. Because from what I gather, autism is a spectrum disorder, which means it has very vast levels of some of them are really bad and some of them are, you know, you wouldn't be able to know unless you caught on. Mm-hmm. And with the younger monkey, the reason I say this is the way he is because he short circuits. That's what it seems like it goes on in his brain. He puts his hands up to his mouth and he does this little sort of type of thing. And he's like, he'll go through phases where he'll do that and then he'll get a lot better and then he'll start it all up again. It's like maybe when his growth spurts are going through or something. Mm-hmm. And so right now he's in a kindergarten for autistic kids and they diagnosed him moderately autistic. Which, you know, that sounds like, oh my God, but it's really not. I think it all depends on the kid. It really seems like each one is an individual case when it comes to autism.
Mm-hmm.
But for all of that, he's still happy. He's extremely energetic.
I can tell from the picture.
Yes. I mean, he's probably why I call them monkeys, because he's all over you like one. Mm. We took him to see Curious George, and he went nuts in that movie. I wish that I was there. They took him to see him in the theater. Every other frame that Curious George was on the screen, he was having a ball and laughing, and it was great, you know. And even later we got it on DVD and we watched it, and he still had the same, he just cracked up. And you know, his sense of humor is very Three Stooges type, you know, whenever slapstick is around and stuff like that. So he's very much and so for as joyful as that is, though, there is the downside that you can't communicate with him. You mm-hmm. can't. You can call his name for a couple minutes, and he won't. You got to hold his head and look at his eyes, and he won't. He won't respond. You know, you can't get him to calm down, to go to sleep. You know, there have been nights when I've been in his bed, and he just sits there doing his little short circuit thing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really what that's all about. I mean, that's what he is.
I see that. See that now. That picture means a lot more to me now.
That is the encapsulation of the younger monkey right there.
Because I mean, I see energy. I see,
and it's overflowing.
Perfect. Just see this picture and the story makes this picture even more meaningful to me.
All right.
And who is that little other? Oh, I mean, does it have to be somebody? There's on the right-hand side there's another character.
That's probably a monkey. If you look up to the left, there's sort of an implied little bird, and down at the bottom right, there's a little frog, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, I was trying to imply sort of creatures.
Well, the right-hand side, to the right of that picture.
To the right of him, it definitely kind of looks like a monkey, sort of.
Cool. Oh, love that one.
All right. More personal one.
The other one, the lost boy. Oh no.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, All those do not have the 1, 2, 3, 4, the stages, or do they?
No, I started doing that later, I guess.
Okay.
I'm not sure when I started doing that.
Okay.
It just struck me one day, like.
Yeah, that's a cool thought. That's a cool idea.
Okay. Next when you one. See them, when whenever you see them with the, it's when I started doing them like live, so quote unquote live, is that you see the stages because I was posting it as I went.
Sure.
The next one is called Blanket Ward. Mm-hmm. And this one's really recent. And this one, I'll read the caption. When the time came to reclaim its prize, all the deep azure eye could see was a flurry of shaking fibers, bundled together in an immovable mass and altogether impossible to pluck from its protective nautilus. This is very much a nightmare. If you read the post right before this one, I had had the worst nightmare that I have ever had, and it involved my children. And I do not think that I can ever verbalize what it was about, because it was so horrible. I'm even just kind of tearing up right now thinking about it. But this is one of those times when it's like, you got to do a picture. You got to let it out somehow. And so I did, and I'm really glad I did. I think it's one of the more powerful ones that I've done. As far as the colors go, I think that, composition-wise, I think it could be better. I don't really consider it one of my strongest pieces, but
meaningful, probably. Well,
but meaningful, yeah. Yes.
So,
And I call it Blanket Ward, a ward as in a ward to a protective spell, something that the idea that this blanket, because after I woke up from the nightmare, I just put the blankets over my head and I just stayed in that ball for quite some time. And so, this is just letting it out. That's really what it's about. And it, art at its core is, that's really what it's about.
I like his
that
hair.
emotional core. Huh?
I see fiber, like in
his hair.
Yeah.
That's what my elder son's hair looks like. He has this swirl in front of his head.
Yeah, it's,
he has a little hurricane.
Even the hair is so much motion. There's flow to the hair.
I did a drawing one time of this woman that had all this hair. It was just drawing hair all over the place. I was drawing people that had hair. I was drawing drag queen hair. I'm pretty sure. Without intentionally realizing it, I was drawing these people that had that hair that drag queens would kill for.
Flowing big hair.
Wanda Wisdom hair. That's what I'm talking about. And
you can be a wig designer too.
Oh, yeah. Well, I had. And that's why I bring it up, because this lady was like, draw me a picture of some hair and I will take it to my stylist. I want that hair. So I guess I was good at drawing hair.
because, the flowing things, I think you're really good at flowing things. Things that flow, movement, hair, bounce. It's very good.
So the next set I would like to get into is, those were personal ones. And the other kind of ones I do have developed into narrative kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
Ones that, if they don't tell a definite story, they definitely imply a greater scale of a story to them.
Okay.
So the first one we have is The Equestrian. And the title is a little, a play on words of an equestrian is a horse rider.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a seahorse rider.
Aqua.
So an equestrian.
Oh, cool.
And this was for my sister's birthday, actually. I do a lot on people's birthdays.
Yeah, this
gives
is
me a good reason to draw.
For her? Or
this is for her, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, usually when it's their birthday, I've I do a sketch in honor of them. She wanted a seahorse for the longest time.
Oh.
So I finally was like, okay, here's a seahorse. So the caption I have with this one is, each Sunday morning before dawn, the queen would slip out of her solitude and into the vague deep to become lost with her only true confidant.
Oh.
So, you know, with this one, I think that it definitely implies a bigger tale or a bigger sort of something that goes beyond.
Yeah.
Why is she trying to slip out into her solitude, you know? I don't think I could really tell you. This is another reason I like to call them sketches, because I think that they are partial ideas.
Yeah, part of a bigger concept that's not,
you know,
yet
if someone
developed.
Would I keep mentioning Adam a lot, but he took one of my one of the earlier ones. I think it's called The Deal, and he liked it so much that he wrote a story about it.
Oh wow!
And
we've got to put the link on there. Let me.
Yeah, it's on his old blog. It's on the Krebs Cycle, but yeah, you know, these definitely imply sometimes a greater scope of things.
And if you, you know, this boy Elroy, too, you can go check out his current podcast.
Yeah, and he's a wonderful person. Everyone should just listen to him anyway.
Mm-hmm, I do.
Yeah,
I like that idea of, you were talking about you being the, you know, the concept, and, you know, you draw from it. You can show this and easily, and from that caption, people can develop a movie out of it or something, you know.
So this one is definitely one that does that. The next one is definitely one that does that. Secret Ingredient.
Oh,
is the next one.
I remember this one. Yeah.
And for that one, I have, it takes a madman or a genius to see into the future. Often they end up being both. And if you look at it, you know, like sort of a cauldron and something being born out of it, you know, what is that thing? And why are these people here? And is this magic or is this science? And, you know, which one is actually the madman?
Yeah.
So, you know, I feel like there's a whole lot more that's going on in this one. Some people said that this one reminded them of Harry Potter a bit, or someone reminded of maybe Labyrinth or one of those older 80s movies or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just go right into the next one. I mean, stop me if you want to comment on these, but these I'm really pointing out for the narrative value of them.
Okay.
The next one I have is The Solar Express. And the caption I came up with for it later on, I have, is, Roland had to consult with the higher-ups when the assembly instructions neglected to give the proper procedure for takeoff. So, no, you know, this one's pretty straightforward. Except, what is that guy that up there? Is that a god? You know, is that the sun?
Mm-hmm.
Who is that that's pulling him, you know, through all this? And
thank you.
I kind of like to mix things so that you're not so sure if it's magic or if it's science. You know,
mm-hmm.
I kind of have a thing in my head that they're really the same thing.
Yeah.
Just different
You're looking
views
from
of
a different.
It.
Yes. Oh my gosh. You exactly. That's how I. And I don't know whether it's because of our religious upbringing or
exactly
our
magic
what.
Seems like it's you want to attach something more, I don't know, fantastic about it,
mm-hmm.
Whereas science seems to want to explain it. It's still as remarkable and is still as, you know, but it seems like those things sort of like they're the same thing sometimes.
Yeah. And sometimes, well, my and of course I go by this, trying to every day, is if you're looking at the same thing, you can look at it as a child with all the excitement as of a
mm-hmm.
child, or you can just look at it. It's just that,
yeah.
Of the two things, and I try to do the one that it's through the eye
I would really someday, if I get into doing anything published,
mm-hmm.
You know, I would love to do some stuff for kids, because a lot of people, I find it, children's entertainment very lacking.
Mm-hmm.
There's good stuff out there. You know, I'll definitely say that, but I think that people want to make things a lot more mature and a lot more, I think the maturity of children is a lot greater nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
Kids are getting older a lot faster.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes that's really unfortunate. And, so maybe not necessarily make things for kids in the physical sense, but things that might remind you of being a child or take you to a place that is safe, like being a kid, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely have a more realistic outlook these days than when I was a kid, and mm-hmm. blind optimism.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a difference between being pessimistic and being realistic. I don't think that I'm pessimistic. I think that I'm realistic.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also different between being optimistic. I think that realism is the balance of optimism and pessimism. It's like, you know, it's the converging of the two. And so, you know, if I ever do some, I appreciate things that really convey a sense of maybe towards the optimistic side, but optimistic realism. So, you know, to be optimistic is to be somewhat whimsical and fantastical and childlike. So you can have reminders of that. That's fine, as long as you bring it back.
as long as you don't live in there.
And some people have problems living there all the time, and that's when you get, you know, psychosis and delusional.
Yeah. Or some people take drugs and get there.
Well, yeah, you know.
I've never done drugs, so I don't really know what it feels.
I would say that this is my escape. I wish more people had an escape like this that was not harmful to them in the way that
that's true and I think that's going to be a huge example for your kids.
People say that they take stuff sometimes when you look at some of the greatest minds that are out there that in art history, a lot of them were doped up. A lot of them were on something. So, you know, I don't really choose to be so. I hope that I never lose that kind of, you know, that inspiration from pulling from just being alive and not having to rely on a substance that has to alter my being.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's also personality bound. I think some people are born, like I'm high on life the whole time.
Yeah.
It's just anything. It's just, you know, you can talk about fat, you can talk about food. I'm excited.
I mean, it sounds like I'm being superior or something here, but I'm just, you see the negative aspects of what those things do to it. And
oh my God,
I really hope that I never have to.
I relate to you, and I'm mm-hmm. sure other people would too in one way or another, is I relate to you in a way where through the stuff that I put out there podcast-wise or blog or mm-hmm. just somebody who know me since mm-hmm. I was a child, I've always been the one that is always happy, you know, there's no worries and he's always happy. And of course we know that that's not true. And even through my podcast, that is sort of reflective of that, because most of the time it is true. But when there are downtimes, sometimes, that's why sometimes I remind people that there are downtimes.
Exactly.
It's just that there's no such recording much, because when I'm feeling like that, I don't feel like recording.
Exactly. Or you feel like blogging, or you don't feel
I just don't feel like,
you don't
have
this. Yeah.
There are closer friends, you know, my partner being one, and mm-hmm. also another close friend who actually have seen the worst. And because I've always been the person to go talk to, and you can kind of tell from my personality and all that, people come to talk to me about their problems, but I've never had someone that I go to when I feel that way. And I'm not even used to that feeling of having somebody to go to talk to because I've just never done that before. I've always been the person to listen. So
right.
it's kind of... it's a little sad sometimes. I only have...
No, I got you, man.
At this point, I only have two people in life that I can completely speak to 100%.
Okay, this is probably going to sound awful, but I don't care because I'm too lazy. You're listening, of course, only to one part of this recording that I'm actually cutting down. This is the second part, but this is second part A and B. I guess that's three parts total. But anyway, this is going to be it for now. And come back either next week or the following week for the rest of the artwork by Alden. Don't forget to smile. Bye.